God that we are able to come together again to worship around his word. As Brother Bob was speaking, I thought of something came to me when I was sitting at my desk just thanking him. I was up praying to God, asking God to do these different things. And I can't say God spoke to him, but a thought came to my mind. Don't worry about asking me for promises. Just keep the one that I've already given you.
Amen.
And so I think if all the promises,
yes, sir,
as he promised, he said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We keep that one promise.
Amen.
That's a great one.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful for this opportunity to come together, Lord, that we can hear the promises that you made. Lord, that you will surrender unto us. Lord, let us surrender unto you. All things that we have need of, Lord, you have already given them, already made a way for us. Lord Jesus, help us to be strong enough and humble enough, Lord, to take your promises into our heart and to live and to walk by them. We ask you this day, the words that we read and the words that is preached to us later, God, that they will find a place of rest in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read from 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 15. Let us read. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not us, because it knew him not. And every man that has this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed is remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
And his children of God manifest, and his children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother.
For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous.
Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you.
We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Amen. God bless you. May be seated.
And he can say you've passed from death to life this morning. Today we have such a wonderful father. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers, but what a glorious amen. What a glorious thing that we know that we have a father who knows our name. Spend some time with him each day. Tell him you love him because he loves you. Amen. And he's took us from death into life. Brother Thomas, would you come and take the morning off for us? Amen. Can we sing that? Sing that song, Draw Me, Key F. Hallelujah. We come here to be drawn to the Word.
Amen.
I know there's a scripture that goes along with this song in Solomon chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chamber. We will be glad and rejoice in him." Amen. Hallelujah.
Draw me, Lord, and I'll come running
God, the key to G. Amen.
Is he great this morning? His word is great. And that's what makes us great, is for him to be in us. That makes him a great father to us. Amen. Hallelujah. How great is our God? Oh, sing.
Good to have all of you here with us. And just make yourself at home. We've got several visitors and several that have been here before. Sister Margaret's been here a while back, but good to have Brother Anderson's mother with us today. Amen. Sister Margaret in the back. Munini. Good to have her here. She's been here before. Also good to have Sister Ashley Rich, which is Brother Micah's baby sister. I know that. I was trying to give you a compliment, Sister. And Brother Michael Curtis with us. Micah Curtis, good to have y'all with us. And maybe we'll see more of him around. I think Sister Ashley's got to go back home. But Idaho's a long way from here, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you have two dogs and a mean brother and air conditioning go out in your truck, right? But good to have them with us today. Always good to have the Perrys with us today. Sister Perry and Brother Daniel with us today. And sister, listen, we have baptized 19 people. Since when you were baptized, we baptized 19 people. So thank God that we've had a revival as far as having baptismal services. Amen? So let's just keep it going. Amen? Let's just keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. And Sister Gibbs and her family's back here. They're from Brother Jewel's church. Good. Yeah. They don't.
Brother Perry's mother, Daniel's mother.
He just fell. I think he passed out. No, I'm just kidding. Good to have each and every one of you with us today. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. God bless you. Thank you all yesterday most of you saw Brother Joe posted the pictures online that a little fishing trip we took down at Brother Terrence's. We all had a good time. It wasn't extremely hot. We caught some fish. So we had a good fellowship. And I want to thank all of you that helped to put the thing together. And Brother Dale for providing the food for us. Yeah, so thank you. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Remember, after the second service, we're going to have a graduation party for Sister Olivia and Brother John graduating this year, class of 2022. We thank them for making it. They made it. Well, no, you're just getting started. But you made it through one stage, and you're heading to another stage. All right, also remember now this coming Saturday, which will be the 25th at 7 o'clock, we'll have a prayer meeting here at the church. We're just going to turn the music on. No coffee, no fellowship. We're just going to open the doors and pray as long as you want to. It's voluntary. You can come if you want to, but we're going to come and pray because we got a meeting coming up. On July the 3rd, Brother Chris Long will be here with us that weekend, and we'll be having a meal after the second service. Also, Brother Aaron, you'll be preaching this coming Wednesday night. I think I already told you that. If I didn't, you know it now. Okay. Brother Aaron's preaching this Wednesday night. So God bless you. Thank you. Good to have Brother Daniel Perry with us, young minister, Lord, in the gospel. The Lord has called him, and we're going to just pull and keep pulling and keep pulling until he says enough. And then we'll do it again at 2 o'clock. We'll pull on him again. So pull on the gift. If you come to get something today, if you just come to visit your neighbor, then that's all you're going to get. But if you come to hear from your Heavenly Father, listen, Father's Day is every day to a Christian. Because our Heavenly Father's one that birthed us if you're born again. Amen? So let's sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, as Brother Daniel Perry comes to minister to us, the Word of the Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
In the light of the morning.
many want to see him this morning. If that's what you came here for, that's what he'll do this morning. Amen. We send you greetings from Shalom Tabernacle in Gastonia, North Carolina. Pastor Jewel Forney sends his greetings. Good to have my wife with me and my mother somewhere back here. I see her hiding back there. And my family back from back home. Not going to take too much of your time. If you have your Bibles, we'll go to Ezekiel chapter 37. And I just want the brothers that came before me to know that y'all pretty much took my sermon away from me this morning. Brother Bob and the reading of the reading of the scripture during the service is, so I guess I don't need to read it this morning. So we're going to go to Ezekiel 37. Amen. Amen. At verse 1, we got two passages of scriptures we're going to read, and then you'll have your seats. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, unto you, be ashamed and confound." Oh, wait, I'm sorry. "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." Again he said unto me, "Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sueth upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you upon the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And ye shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Amen. And we're going to jump over to 1 Kings 18. Read a few scriptures here. I apologize for the long scripture reading, but I just want to lay a foundation before I get started. First Kings 18. We're going to start at verse 29, and we'll go on down. You got it, say amen.
Amen.
And he answered. Oh, I'm sorry. 18, verse 29. And it came to pass, when midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. And unto the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar was great, which contained 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran upon about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stone, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, Lord God, the Lord, he is the God, and the Lord, he is the God. Amen. At this time, we bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just this opportunity, Lord, once again, Lord, to just lift up the name of Jesus, Lord, to give you praise, Lord, and create an atmosphere, Lord, of worship. Now, Lord, we've read your word. We pray that you quicken it, Lord. Move me out of the way, O God, Lord. Lord, you speak to your people, O God. Lord, you be the preacher this morning, Lord, and you also be the hearer, O God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I won't be before you long. But this morning, I want to preach on creating an atmosphere for the supernatural. And if I had to put a subtopic to it, it would be, it's manifesting time. And we see in the scriptures here in Ezekiel that the Lord asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And we want to focus on the atmospheres this morning. Why did God ask Ezekiel, can these bones live? If we want to know the answer to that, we have to look at the atmosphere that was created before God ever spoke and asked that question to him. And if we look at Elijah, we're going to look at the same things this morning. But God knew to ask Ezekiel, could these bones live? Why? Because he knew that whatever he put on the inside of him, so when that word came to him, when the word came to his doorstep, how he would respond to it. Same with Elijah. They questioned God. They asked, you know, they had their own image of the Lord, and they wanted to just forget about God. So Elijah had faith in who his God was. Just like this day, we should have faith in who God is. We look at the things that happened in Brother Branham's ministry, And I don't know why, but it seems like this day, we don't think it could happen this day. What Brother Branham spoke that though in the Bible says that these very same works would happen. That's what's going to have to take place this morning. We're creating an atmosphere for the supernatural. So Elijah, he had faith in who God was, and he knew because he had a testimony, because God had already shown him many times before that he was a God that would provide his every need. Amen. That he was a God that would show up.
Yes, sir.
Amen. To prove his word. Amen. God's word cannot fail. Amen. The scripture says, my word have I sent out, and it shall not return to me void. Amen. So Elijah knew that when he said that God was going to show up, God had to do it. God had to show up to perform his word. So the scripture says that Elijah began to prepare to repair the altar. So we know that this is an altar up here. What do we do up here? We worship. We praise. We create an atmosphere for God to move. That's what we do. So that same altar, he began to repair it. He began to, and you notice the scripture, he did many impossible things. Fire. He began to pour water, not one, not two, but three times upon the altar. Because he knew that the fire of the Lord was going to come down. But we know as humans that where something is in water, fire cannot dwell upon it. If you drench something and you try to set it on fire, it won't catch on fire. Why? Because the two materials are not compatible. So God loves to work in the impossible. Oh, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But God loves to work in the impossible. He lets a situation in your life get so bad to where it seems like there's no hope. Where you don't know where that last dime's coming from. Or where you don't know where your meal is coming from. Then he shows up just to prove himself. We bring these little situations to God, and God may do them, but still our faith get weary when the impossible happens. So Elijah created this impossible scenario. And it wasn't just for Elijah, but it was the people who had strayed away from God and created an atmosphere of doubt surrounding what God would do. When they seen time and time and time again how God had shown up to prove himself. Even at the Red Sea, he showed up to prove himself. He showed up to prove himself time and time again. But still, they got weary in their faith. Why? They got weary in their faith. So he begins to create this impossible scenario. And God began to move. But notice, his scripture says that Elijah began basically to give worship to the Lord. In the midst of that, he had already sent out a word. He had already said what his God was going to do. He didn't have to do nothing else. But he created an atmosphere. This morning, today, we need to create an atmosphere for the supernatural this morning. The supernatural works aren't just in the scriptures. Supernatural works not just in Brother Branham. They should happen right now. Brother Branham said when the bride gets into position, when the bride gets into position, divine healings will take place. The sick can be healed. The dead will be raised. We look all through Brother Branham's ministry where people would come up in the prayer line and they would say, well, my loved one, he's out in the world and I want them to be in church. And what would happen? As soon as they finished saying the prayer, that loved one that they were praying for would walk through the door. That would happen now. That can happen now. It's manifesting time. It's time not to be playing church. We should become what Brother Branham said we should be. What the scriptures have told you what you are. The scripture says now we are the sons of God. And the scripture also says the works that I do, you shall do also. If any man believe on me, the works that I do, you shall do also. It's manifesting time. It's not time to be playing with the word. The word have said what you are. They have told you what you are. But Satan loves to make you doubt what you are. He loves in the atmosphere of faith. This morning there's an atmosphere of faith. But in this mist, there's an atmosphere of doubt also. In this morning, in this presence, there's an atmosphere of doubt. Why? You ain't seen it in a while. You ain't seen the move of God. Many people have walked away. Why? Because they were looking for the power. Everything that has happened this day, people that have walked away from this word, it happened in scripture. When Jesus began to talk to the people and tell them what was required of them, they began to walk away. Why? Because they couldn't receive the word. They couldn't understand it. When he began to tell them that you don't have no part with me if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood. But he began to talk to them. They couldn't take the word. But when he was performing miracles, it was a great crowd. When it was a great crowd when he began to heal the sick, raise the dead. But when it came to the word, they couldn't handle it. I'm going to take a few examples. We're going to go through the Bible this morning. Can y'all preach with me this morning? I'm going to go off. I'm not even going to bother with this morning. I'm going to just follow the leadership of the Lord. But let's take some scriptures in the Bible. Let's look at Zacharias this morning. How many know the story of Zacharias? How many know he was John the Baptist's father? Amen. Brother Branham said that the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came to Zechariah and it began to give him a word. Now, Brother Branham said that why would Zechariah doubt that word when he had examples? He had examples of the word. He had Hannah. He had Sarah. Him being a prophet, he knew the word. He knew what had been taking place. So he knew that it wasn't impossible for that thing to happen or for God to perform it. But then months later, you got Mary. The same angel came to her with the same word. But let's look at the atmospheres this morning. Zechariah had an atmosphere of doubt when it had been proven. When it had been proven what God could do. But Mary had an atmosphere of faith and believing in something that never happened before. It was impossible. But notice, they both asked the same exact question. How can this thing be? But the atmosphere. See, God knew who to come to. He knew how to prove his word. There was many virgins that he could have came to. But you know that God always, before God ever moves on something, he already knows the pre-context of the situation. He knew Mary's heart. He also knew Zechariah would doubt the word. He also knew he would doubt the word. That's why he came back with the same scenario, just to give us an example. That example is you can sit in the same church, hear the same word, and come out with two different outcomes. But Brother Branham said, here this little woman had to believe something that had never happened. Wow. She probably searched the scriptures just to see, is it possible? But in what she wasn't searching with a doubt in her heart. She believed the word even though she had no proof. The scripture says, faith. You believing in something you cannot see. She had no proof that it happened, but yet she believed and it fulfilled. God's word had to be proven at that moment because her faith began to believe in the supernatural. That atmosphere was created. The atmosphere was created in order for God to move. This morning, this day, let's create an atmosphere for God to move this morning. The scripture says, you speak to the mountain. You speak to the mountain. You've got the power this morning. Many times Brother Branham would ask, well, Lord, help me. What did God tell him? You got the power. This gift I've given to you. You got to operate it. We've gotten too weak. We've gotten too... I don't know what's going on. Relax. We've gotten too relaxed with the word and lackadaisical. And we've... The scripture says faith without works is dead. God got to do everything for us now. We can't believe him for a headache. We can't believe him for nothing no more. I don't know about y'all. God has proven his word to me time and time and time and time and time again. So I don't need nobody to preach me up. I don't need nobody to try to sang me up. His word has already been proven to me. It's been quickened in my heart. The word, my word, have I quickened in you. That you would manifest this. Oh, my. The problem is, we can't believe. Because to us, this is a God of history. It's a God of history to us. It can't happen no more. We hear stories. They're good stories. Good stories. Good to tell. Good to go along with your sermon. But the faith that was once delivered to the saints is rare now. That faith and that believing in the word, even though they couldn't see it, it's not here no more. It's rare. It's rare. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. Brother Branham said that we would manifest these things at the end time. We listen to the very same tapes, but it's just tapes. You are the word. You are the word. The Bible says in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. But remember, Jesus said, remember that I am in the Father in me, I in you. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. That will he do in the midst. We listen to all the stories of the Bible. Listen to what happened in Brother Branham's ministry. What about now? What about now? Raising from the dead. Sick being healed. Y'all looking at a modern day Lazarus. I was dead, but now I live. 2019, in the operating room for a simple procedure. Dead. I don't know how long I was gone, but I was dead. Went in on a Tuesday morning, Brother Wade. I ain't wake up until Friday afternoon. Dead. But God raised me from the dead. Many testimonies. I got a friend that I hadn't seen in a long time, but his heart just completely gave out. Dead for 30 minutes. I don't know if we got any nurses or doctors in here, but the brain cannot go without oxygen for a certain amount of time, correct? How long is that? 10 minutes. 8 minutes. The brain cannot go without oxygen for 8 minutes. He was dead for 30 minutes. 30. Made it to the hospital. Brought back. No brain damage. He was there to tell the testimony of what God did for him. That can happen right now. We're not serving a God of history. The same works God will do today. He will and can perform it. But you got to move into position and know who you are this morning. The problem is we don't know who we are. It's Father's Day, our Heavenly Father. The scripture said now we are the sons of God. Where are the sons and daughters of God at this morning? That word lives on the inside of you. So whatever you say, whatever you speak, it has to move. It has to operate. Psalms 82 says, "And I have told you, ye are gods." And then Jesus reminded us. He said, "Does not the law say ye are gods?" The scriptures told you who you are. But where's the manifestation of who you are? Huh? Where's the speaking a world and living on it? Where's that at? Where is the changing of an atmosphere just when you walk in the room? Where's that? The atmosphere. If you want God to do something for you, you create an atmosphere for him to move. But it ain't about how much you read the message. It ain't about how much you read about. It ain't even about how much you pray. You know what it's about? It's your belief. It's your faith. We look at these stories in Brother Branham. He had the gift of divine healing. But if y'all read the message, anybody read it? What would Brother Branham say? Do you believe? Do you have faith? That's what he would ask him. So God moved based off of the faith. He proved himself off of your faith. It wasn't about the prophet. It was more so him trying to increase your faith. If no faith is present, God can still move. And I'm going to tell you later on, he can still move. But these supernatural things that we come to church to be in expectation of, it's not about who behind the pulpit preaching or who behind the pulpit singing. It's about the atmosphere you bring. It's about the lick of fire you bring. Many times in the scripture, let's take the children of Israel because I love using them. The children of Israel, God had done many things for them. Time and 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 time again. Every time he did something, they still had doubt in their heart. at the Red Sea, doubt in their heart, when God had performed many, many works in Egypt, still doubt in their heart. The pillar of fire, doubt in their heart. Open up the Red Sea, doubt in their heart. God still moving in the midst of doubt. Doubt don't stop God from moving. You think because you think you know more, and that's not logical. God ain't logical at all. Ain't logical at all. It ain't logical for that to happen. If you read your Bible, there's many unlogical things. I don't even know if that's a word. Unlogical things that happen. A man ripped the jaws of a lion. A little boy killed a bear and a lion. A little boy slayed a giant whose hands was bigger than him. I don't know who used that example, but he had 14-inch fingers. He'll slap you and then come around the other side and unlogical. But in the midst of that unlogical happening, God moved. Even though the prophet hit God's prophet doubted the word, God still moved. Just to shake the faith of the believer. Children of Israel had known what God had done for them. Knew what God would do for them. But still, with doubt in their heart, he still operated in his attributes. They get down. Let's take David. And I preached this last Sunday. The Lord just gave it to me. Take David. David had conquered so many things. God used him so many times. And they're at Ziklag. And the enemy had completely overtaken. Took everything. Nobody died. But they took everything. And the scripture says that the people were sore. They began to weep till they couldn't weep no more. They began to cry till they couldn't cry no more. Even David began to cry. But then it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself even though he lost two wives and children. And in that atmosphere, he asked, Lord, shall I overtake and recover? And the Lord said, surely you shall overtake and recover all. He said, you go back and reclaim what's yours and you ain't going to lose nothing. That scripture is to us. Whatever we've lost, recover it and you won't lose it. Loved ones out in the world, recover them. They're yours. This morning, they are yours. Let's make the word live this morning. Let's make the word live today. So he went back and recovered all. In the midst, just to prove God, to prove himself again. And later on down the road, he still had to prove himself to David again. Because David had to write, I'll lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. When God had proven himself to David, time and time, God used him to prove his word. And he still doubted. Let's take John Ryan. another testament of faith. Wasn't divine healing, faith. He went to Brother Branham. I can't see. Brother Branham said, do you believe? He never said, I can heal you. Your belief. He said, yes, I believe. He said, well, then you go confessing your healing. John Ryan, I can see. I can see. I can see. I can see. And the atmosphere of doubt came at him. You still can't see, John. You confessing what you confessing? You can't see. So he went back. That doubt overtaking him. And he went back. Brother Branham, I thought you said I could see. I thought you said I was healed. What did Brother Branham say? What did he say? I thought you believed. Spoken word. Do you believe this morning? He said, I do. I do believe. He said, well, go confessing your healing. So he went on again. I can see. I can see. I can see. I can see. And he ended up going to a barbershop. God took him to the lion's den. Where you had the doubting lions. It wasn't courageous lions. It was doubting lions. I can see. 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 John, you still saying you can see. And you can't see yet. You've been talking about this. And you still ain't. If God ain't done it for you yet, he ain't gonna do it for you. You might as well just stop. You making a fool of yourself. I can see. I can see. I can see. All that doubt surrounding him. He's still confessing the word that came to his door. I can see. I can see. I can see. I can see. Till his eyes popped open and he ran. The word had to be proven in the midst of doubt. God don't just make his word happen. He make the situation look like it ain't going to happen. Then it happens. I can see. I can see. In the midst of doubt. Good friends of John. It can't happen. It can't happen. John, you've been blind almost all your life. You confessing this now. You an old man. What you need your vision for? You too old. Like my old pastor say, you got one foot in the grave and one foot on earth. We're waiting on you to die. In that atmosphere. In the atmosphere Zechariah created. God shut his mouth. A prophet. He said, I'm going to shut your mouth until the word that I have spoken to you is fulfilled. And if we look at that, if we continue to look, God made the situation worse. Elizabeth did get pregnant, but John was dead. Hadn't moved in months. But when the word came, the word began to come, and John met the word, and the word was made flesh, and the word came to Elizabeth, who's had an atmosphere of hurt and doubt, because she did get pregnant, but the baby had not moved. I'm going to take it a little deeper. It didn't have a heartbeat. He wasn't shouting yet. Another atmosphere. Elizabeth, she knew that this was a child truly sent from God. And for the situation of the one child that I have, that the Lord finally bestowed upon me, is dead. That atmosphere surrounding her. But the word came to her door and quickened itself. The thou word have I quickened in you. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. It will quicken your mortal body. The word was quickened in John. He received the Holy Ghost right then and there. Let me tell y'all something. Those same things have happened in my life. I got a friend right now. Say he was driving home late at night from wherever. And he said he ran out of gas. And he only got one car for his family. Ran out of gas. And he just, in the atmosphere, something came to him and said, Jesus turned water into wine. And something said, you got two water jugs in the back of your car. So he said, he took those two water jugs. And the words had to be proven at that moment. And he said, Lord, you turn water into wine. Now I need you to turn this water into gas. And he said he put it in his car and drove all the way home. And his car is still working the way it's supposed to. I took that testimony last Monday, Brother Wade. I had some money in my pocket, but I needed to cash it first. And I had to go to work. I go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. Banks don't open till 9. Brother Wade, I'm halfway between a quarter of a tank and E. Something said, you preached last night about creating an atmosphere for the supernatural. Prove it. So I said, Lord, if you gave Joshua the power to make the sun stand still, you give me the power and to speak to this needle and tell it not to move until I put gas in it. Brother Wade, I drove all the way. I live 30 miles from my house. Drove all the way to work. I had to drive 5 exits to get to the bank. Drove all the way to work. To the bank. Back to work. Still ain't put gas in it. Needle still didn't move. Went to go grab lunch. Went to Walmart. The bank called me, sir, we shorted you on your money. Still ain't put gas in it yet. Needle still where I told it to stay. Drove all the way to the bank. Then finally drove to the gas station. The needle was where I told it to stay. The atmosphere in believing the word. Let me tell you something the prophet said. This is what he said. He says, what we need is the Holy Ghost. Is a Holy Ghost atmosphere. An atmosphere where the power of God, moving on one accord, one place, gathered together under the atmosphere of expecting God to do something. God to move and do signs and wonders. Amen. Let's move ourselves into that bracket. Step up on faith. Move out of these three dimensions into the next one. God called you to be supernatural. But Satan loves to bring an atmosphere in the midst of you, because he knows if you just get into position, if you just get to know who you are, he's already defeated. If the bride can just recognize who she is, if she can recognize the power and the host of angels that's surrounding her. You are the bride of Jesus Christ, an invincible army. Mrs. Jesus. You got a legion of angels surrounding you at your disposal. Your husband don't play about you. Your husband, I'm sorry. Your husband will not let nothing happen to you. I'm sorry for that slang saying. Oh, your husband don't play about you. Your husband got your back. The same omnipotent power that God holds is at your disposal. Operating through the power of the Holy Ghost. If God is with us, where be his miracles? You have the mind of Christ. If you are fulfilling scripture, anybody fulfilling scripture this morning? If you are fulfilling scripture and you are the word says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God? What's wrong with us today? It's like the scriptures say, we got a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's power in the name of Jesus, and you carry that name. So there's power in you. If you believe in the supernatural, you got the power. You hold, Brother Branham said, we have the title to our inheritance. And if you believe the word, I know my Bible. I don't know about y'all Bible. You know, y'all might have that New World Version. Where they gender friendly and they don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't know about y'all. But my Bible says, let me get dignified for this one. My Bible says, that my Bible says that the word was made manifest in me. So, know about y'all, but I can speak to the mountain and tell it to be cast into the sea, and it can happen. I don't know about y'all. I can speak to limbs and they'll grow back. I can speak to the dead. They'll be raised. My Bible says that he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I was healed. Ain't no is. Ain't no am, was. You know what that means? It's already done.
to wait for it no more. It's right now. It's manifested in me now. Whatever you desire, whatever you have in need of, it's right now. You ain't got to wait for it. I don't know why we as Christians, we think we got to become somebody else. I hope I don't offend nobody. If I do, I'm sorry. Take it up with God. I don't know why we as Christians got to put on an atmosphere of impersonation. And I'm sorry if I offend anybody once again. I don't know why we think if we become Brother Branham, God will do something for you. God will do something for you if you, Brother Bob, Brother Aaron, Brother Sam. You ain't got to become Brother Branham. Those testimonies, that's Brother Branham's. Where is your testimony? The scripture says that we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Where's your testimony at this morning? What did God do for you? Huh? What did God do for you? There's power in the testimony of what God has done for you. Satan just don't want you to get into position. Because when you do, he knows he can't do nothing with you. That's why he tried to make you doubt. Brother, I don't even know why you coming to church. Brother Bob, I don't know why you preaching. I beat you a long time ago. You remember what you did 20 years ago, Brother Bob? Brother Aaron, you remember what you did? You remember how you used to be? And you thank God pleased with that? Now you know what you did last night. And you call yourself a son of God. He loves to whisper in your ear because he know he can't holler at you. He know he can't yell at you. So he'll come and whisper in your ear. Now you know what you was doing last night. You shouldn't have been doing that. You know what you was doing last night. Now you remember how you used to be. You remember what you used to be. And you think God love you. You think God love you? You was a sinner. God called you a sinner. That's what he called you. Said you came into the world speaking lies. And you think that God love you? You think that God love you? When he do that, he know that you got the power to destroy him at that moment. But he makes you doubt what you have. Because he's already been defeated. God already defeated him. But if he can get you to take your eyes off of what's on the inside of you, he got you. He knows God don't play about you. That's why he don't come to him about you. He knows how much confidence God has in you. Because if he didn't, he would have never went to God about Job. God, remember, when you go through trials, God has confidence in who you are. He has confidence in the life that he's put on the inside of you. He has confidence in you as a believer. There's nothing impossible for you. Do y'all, we read the same Bible, right? Doesn't the scripture say with God, all things are possible? And it also says that there's nothing impossible for God. And then he told me that he lived on the inside of me. So that means there's nothing impossible for me. There's nothing impossible for you. So you can speak a word and live on it. You can speak to a sickness and it'll leave. You can speak to demons and they will leave. You can speak and whatever you speak, you have. God, you put that power in my hands. I don't know what to ask for. God knew not to come and tell me, ask what you will. I'd have said, give me $3 billion right now and give me 10 later. That'd be me. But God knew the hearts of everybody. We say we want that had it right experience. Oh, sister, God did it for sister had it right. If he would have did that for me, he ain't going to do it for you. Thank you, sister. Not with that atmosphere. Not with the character that you have. He knew. He knew to do that for her. Because he knew her desire. He knew her heart. He already knew what she would ask for. So when it came, and the word came to her door, and it wasn't a deep word. The word ain't got to be deep for you to believe. It ain't got to be the seals laid out before you. The seven thunders. Do you hear his voice? It ain't got to be all that. The word that came to her door was a story about squirrels. Can somebody say squirrels? Squirrels. That simple word. And she said, that ain't nothing but the truth. That word brought the atmosphere of asking whatever you will. Brother Branham said something came up and said, ask what you will. Whatever you want. If you want $1 million right now, that's what I would ask for. But God knew her heart. He knew. He works on both ends of the spectrum. I read a quote where Brother Branham said, yo, you can't even believe without first God allowing it. Without first him working your faith. You can't even believe without God working your faith. She believed that little story. And the presence of God came down. Ask what you will. This morning I'm going to say, ask what you will. Ask what you will. This morning, if you create the atmosphere, ask what you will. Whatever you have need of, ask what you will. It can take place this morning. Ask what you will. Speak to the mountains. Speak to your trials. Speak to your tribulations. Speak to the sickness. Amen. Speak to your loved ones. Speak your loved ones through the door right now. Amen. And the atmosphere came down. And all she said was, I want the salvation of my two boys. And their hearts were pricked right there. And they gave their lives to the Lord. Amen. This morning, do you believe in the supernatural? Do you believe that whatever you want right now, this morning, will happen? Do you got faith that it'll happen? Do you really believe? Do you really believe this morning? Can we stand this morning? Musicians, y'all come, please. Y'all know that song, "I'm No Longer a Slave." Whatever you want this morning, God will do it right now. God, you have the full manifested word of God at your disposal, at your fingertips. You choose how you want to use it. You choose what you want God to do for you. You want money, God will give you money. God will give it to you out of nowhere. He's done, I know, because he's done it for me. I needed $2,000 for a bill. God gave me $4,000 out of nowhere. Don't know where it came from. I knew how I got it, but I don't know how much. I didn't know that God was going to give me that much. Y'all play that song, "I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear." I'm a child of God. How many are a child of God this morning? God has given you the word, and he's quickening it in you. I don't care what key it's in. Oh. Yes, sing that. That's, I love that. He's in the house this morning. Amen. Death has to flee. How many know death has to flee this morning? When God is in the building, the sick has to be healed. The dead can be raised.
You got, God's here to take care of it. Just make sure he's in this house. Ask him to come in and he'll come. Be it unto me according to thy word. Same thing as saying it ain't nothing but the truth. Put Mary pregnant in the same way they gave those two children. The sister had it right. If you have a need. Walk out of here with that need not met. We've all had situations that we've been in. As our brother said, we've all had our struggles and our battles and our problems, our issues. But we got one God to take care of. You don't have to talk to three people. One God. You don't have to talk to a secretary. You don't never be put on hold. God will answer that phone if you'll ask. In the atmosphere of believing for the supernatural. I like that. We're supernatural people. Oh, he's in the house. Sing it to him one more time. Think about it. If you got a need today, let God take care of it. He said, give me your burdens. So give them to him. Let God have them. He can handle them way better than you can. I promise you. Just put it on him. Because he asked us to. Wonderful sermon. Let's give our brother a hand clap of praise. Let's sing one more song.
Oh, he's in the house that has to flee.
Death has to flee. That's the problem we have. We got that big scary demon called death, and we don't know how to handle it. I thought Jesus destroyed that at Calvary. 2,000 years ago, he took care of it. Take care of you. He's here to take care of your need if you need today anything. Just come and listen. See what God has for each and every one of us. Destroyed all them. Don't take those box around snakes. No, don't take that box. Give it back to the devil. Claim your children today. Claim your healing today. Whatever you need, you just claim it. Because he's here. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise again. God bless you, brother. Good job. You sound kind of like a veteran. God can do a lot in a very quick period of time. And that's what we need. We need young people. They can go down that aisle about 25 times. And still be able to go down that aisle 25 more times. But thank God, because it's an inspiration. It's. I was thinking the other day, it's a supernatural thing that Brother Bram talks about, the supernatural element of a mystery. Well, we're the mystery.
Amen.
So we have a supernatural element that the world can't, they can't even, if we were all to get together and start talking about the Word of God in this hour that we know, and a stranger walks up, what are you talking about? Why? Because you're in another atmosphere. Now, if that guy, whoever that is, if they go, what was that again? What are you talking about? This? Where'd you get that at? Well, then you're good. But now, some people go, whoa, I don't want any of that. Well, it's not for them. It's not for everybody. But that's okay. It's for us. It's for us that's claimed it. It's precious to us. We don't ever want to get rid of it. We want to stutter around. We want to talk about it. We want to praise His name. And that's what we come to do today. And our brother, I believe that faith, and he don't know it, but I was talking to Brother Bob, and we've been talking on faith, but we're going to do some more on faith, because I believe faith, Brother Bram said, faith is the key. Right? Faith is the key to unlock the door. We got some doors that need to be unlocked. So we need to have the key. And that down at the bottom of the pyramid, that's the big Y down there where it says faith. So we need to have faith. Faith for the time, the prophet of God said. I think we need faith for the time. John Wesley didn't need faith, we did. Martin Luther didn't need the faith we did. They weren't having faith for a rapture. You and I are going to have faith for a rapture. We're going to have faith for a body change. We're going to have faith for a resurrection faith. And then Brother Branham, now let me tell you something real quick. Brother Branham said Jesus walked in the world of perfect faith, right? Read his life. He said, oh, if I had perfect faith, the bills would quit coming. The car would stay full of gas. I wouldn't have no worries at all. Brother Branham said Jesus walked in a world of perfect faith, and look what happened to him for 3.5 years. They hated him. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. They called him a devil. He probably was cast out of many different places. He cried. He wept over Jerusalem. It wasn't a fine party that he was in. But Brother Branham said he walked in a world. So I think that's what we're trying to get, that perfect faith to where nothing, you know, nothing's going to harm us, and we have no. Jesus hung on a cross with perfect faith. Amen. With nail holes in his hand. And looked like a piece of hamburger meat, but Brother Brown said he walked in a world of perfect faith. What? You know what he did? He knew who he was, as you were saying today. We got to know who we are. And stay focused on that. Who we are. We are the Son of Man. We are the Word made flesh. I've been reading that scripture. Well, I read it at y'all's church too. That we have been the Word made flesh. And the perfect faith then can be in us. Not that our bills are going to get paid. Not that all these things. No. But you know what? You know who you are. When you get up in the morning, you know who you are. When you go to bed, you know who you are. Even when you go through a trial, you know who you are. And you don't lose that. I don't have bad days and I'm not a Dale. I don't have good days and I'm not a Dale. No, I'm a Dale all the time because I was born in the family. So you're a Christian. You're born in the family of God. You're going to have trials and tribulation. But you know what? You're going to make it through. We read the book. The book says we win. And I keep reading that book. And I keep reading that book. It's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. Right? Who wins the race? The turtle always wins. Read the book 20 times or 100 times. Turtle always wins. So the bride's always going to win. Absolutely. We're going to find a way. You know who it is? It's Jesus Christ. So let's bow our heads. We're going to take a few moments, have a couple hours, be back at 2 o'clock. Our brother will be preaching for us again. The Lord will give him strength and come back and be in the service expecting that we're going to get something else. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Father, just bless our brother and keep him strong, Lord. We appreciate what he said, Father. Now I pray that it goes into our heart, Lord, and becomes real. That we do know who we are and what we're doing here, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you've brought a house full of people today, Lord. All the visitors, some that have been here, some that have not. We pray that you'd be with them, Lord, and comfort them, keep them, Lord, as we go eat a natural meal. Just be with us as we come back together under you, our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed. I am blessed.